Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Sands. This is episode number 14. And just to let everybody know, because of work commitments, we are skipping a week. And this is to make sure we keep as up-to-date as possible. And remember that you can also subscribe to Sands and let me know what might be of interest to you. You may email or iMessage me at jaredrimer at 986themix.com or tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. You may also text or WhatsApp by using the phone number 804-442-6975, or you may call my comment line at 888-405-7524 and leaving a voicemail. If I'm available, I will be happy to take your call. If you need a callback, please make sure you indicate that in your message. And if it's a number different than the one you're calling from, please let me know. Also, if you want your comment aired on a future program, whether it's the Security Box or Sands, you are welcome to do so, and I will make sure not to include your phone number in the message. This is Sands News Bites, annotated news update from the leader in information, security, training, certification, and research. May 13th, 2025, Volume 27, Number 37. Welcome to Sands 14. We're skipping a week of Sands due to me being unavailable to tape. This is what I was just mentioning at the beginning of this recording. This time, a big company in the education system is hacked. Apple secures iOS and other projects. Google settles Texas privacy suit. Florida's E2EE crashes and burns. And Asus gets fixed, although the entry has a text from the prior item. So those are some of the highlights we're going to be talking about for the next hour or so. And what I had to do for the Asus item was take from the editor's notes, because the item talking about that had the same UK story that was mentioned in the prior one. Of course, we'll be talking about all of this in due time. Here is your table of contents, and the top of the news includes Apple security updates May 2025, update Cisco iOS XE for WLCs to fix CVSS 10.0 arbitrary file upload flaw. Whoops. Then we've got Google settles Texas privacy suits for $1.375 billion, that's B with a baby in it, B as in baby, $1 billion. And that isn't the first time that they have had issues settling suits for millions or billions of dollars. Here is the rest of the week's news. OneDrive feature poses security concerns. Microsoft Teams will prevent screen captures. Florida's E2EE backdoor bill withdrawn from consideration. We'll talk about this one. More click fix attacks. U.S. and Dutch authorities seize proxy network infrastructure. UK education company says threat actors stole legacy data, and legacy data is in quotes. One of the comments there is, what is that supposed to mean? And finally, as discussed, fix available for Asus driver hub vulnerabilities. And of course, as I said there, unfortunately, there isn't anything except for an editor's note we can take. So, if you're running this, contact Asus and find out what you need to do, because they don't have it here. But they do have something that I did decide to take. Let's go ahead and start with the top of the news. Apple security updates, May 2025. Apple's May 12, 2025 security updates include patches for 65 vulnerabilities. Among the notable flaws is known exploited vulnerability in the core audio framework, patched already for the most current operating systems on April 18th, 2025, now patched for older systems. Apple JPEG and Core Media have improved input sanitation against attacks involving maliciously crafted files that could lead to app termination or corrupt process memory. Core Audio, Core Graphics, and Image IO have had file parsing flaws fixed. WebKit received patches for 9 flaws that could lead to memory corruption, data exfiltration by a malicious website, process crashes, and Safari crashes. FaceTime received improved state management to fix an issue in which, quote, muting the microphone during a FaceTime call may not result in audio being silenced, end quote. The iOS 18.5 and iPadOS 18.5 kernel has been protected against unexpected system termination and corrupt kernel memory by improving memory handling and against unexpected app termination by improving memory management. Multiple issues possibly leading to unexpected app termination or arbitrary code execution have also been fixed in Libex
pet.
An open source XML parser. The baseband device for iPhone 16e has received improved state management to prevent an attacker in a privileged network position from intercepting network traffic. MDNS responder. And DNS is in all caps, and then the R in responder is capitalized, has improved checks to prevent privilege escalation. Notes has improved authentication to prevent an attacker with physical access to a device being able to access notes from the lock screen, and improved checks to prevent an attacker with physical access to a device from being able to access a deleted call recording. In addition to iOS 18.5 and iPadOS 18.5, Apple is releasing major updates from macOS Sequoia, macOS Sonoma, macOS Ventura, watchOS, tvOS, and visionOS. And all I will say is that I need to actually run said update, and I will make sure to get that done before next week. And we want to make sure that no matter what operating system you're running, some of these could be backported to earlier versions, which could protect those devices. So just check and see if you have new updates and update accordingly, if at all possible. Now, let's go ahead and move along to our next item. Update Cisco iOS XE for WLCs to fix CVSS 10.0 arbitrary file upload flaw. Cisco has published a security advisory addressing a maximum severity vulnerability in its internet working operating system built on Linux iOS XE for wireless LAN controllers, WLCs. CVE 2025-20188 CVSS score 10.0 would allow a remote unauthenticated attacker to upload files, perform path traversal, and execute arbitrary commands with root privileges by sending crafted HTTPS requests to the out of band access point, AP image download interface, due to the presence of a hard-coded JSON web token, JWT, on an affected system. The out-of-band AP image download feature is not disabled by default, but must be enabled for exploitation of this flaw to be possible. The flaw affects Catalyst 9800CL wireless controllers for cloud, the Catalyst 9800 embedded wireless controller for Catalyst 9300, 9400, and 9500 series switches, Catalyst 9800 series wireless controllers, and the embedded wireless controller on Catalyst APs when running Cisco iOS XE with the out-of-band AP image download feature enabled. Cisco urges system administrators to update Cisco iOS XE to the latest version and strongly recommends mitigating risk by immediately disabling the out-of-band AP image download feature. Cisco's advisory provides commands for determining if the feature is disabled and lists devices and software known not to be vulnerable. And one of the comments in the editorial section of this very item indicated that when you see something as severe as a 10, and I would quote, stop everything you're doing and patch. That is a good netizen. Not patching is a bad netizen and could lead to potential problems. So if you are running these things, then please make sure that you are as up to date as you can be with these devices. Google settles Texas privacy suits for $1.375 billion. Google will pay U.S. $1.375 billion, its largest settlement to date, over U.S. state privacy to resolve two lawsuits and three claims brought by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who alleges that the company violated state laws by collecting and using data without consent. One suit asserts that Google violated the Capture or Use of Biometric Identifier Act, CUBI, which quote, prohibits a person from capturing an individual's biometric identifiers, retina or iris scan, fingerprint, voice print, or record of hand or face geometry for a commercial purpose unless that person informs the individual and obtains the individual's consent prior to the capture, end quote, and, quote, restricts the sale, lease, or disclosure of biometric identifiers and requires that a captured biometric identifier be destroyed within a reasonable time frame, end quote. Google allegedly unlawfully collected and used voice prints, facial geometry, and other biometric identifiers via Google Photos, Google Assistant, and Nest Hub Max. The second suit claims that Google violated the state's Deceptive Trade Practices Act by continuing to track users' locations and to use the data to serve targeted ads even after users disabled location history and used incognito mode. Paxton's press release states, in Texas, big tech is not above the law. Google has stated that the settlement does not constitute admission of wrongdoing and that procedure changes have already been made to resolve the issue. And or issues, I must add. Well, this might be the biggest settlement yet, but we know for a fact that Kim Komando is saying that searching on the internet is down, which would in theory hurt Google in the long term. So maybe its dominance in the market may start to dwindle at some point in the future if it hasn't already. Services like ChatGPT are now being used to get answers, and that could, in theory, hurt search as a whole, no matter what search engine you use. So we'll have to see if Google can rebound from this massive payout to the state. And, well, this is going to get very interesting, I think. I know I switched to DuckDuckGo, which doesn't really do a whole lot for me. I've had to actually go to Google to search on very specific things because DuckDuckGo didn't have it. I was actually doing a search in regards to some transportation stuff that will be going on and that I needed my folks to send to the AAC, the Accessibility Advisory Committee. And I actually put the phrase in to DuckDuckGo, and it didn't find it, but I found it via Google. So Google still has relevance when it comes to certain things and it finding things. But if Google has to continue to pay these large amounts of bounty, if you will, then they may not be so relevant in the not too distant future, which is unknown at this time. Would you like to support the network by offsetting its costs? Please go to jaredrimer.net, where you can find under links around the main domain a link for donations. You can pay through PayPal, which allows direct credit card payments of any amount you choose, or choose certain amounts that will be charged to your credit card or bank account through the payment processor Stripe. Both methods of payments are secure, and both have been tested for accessibility. If you would like the Jared Reimer Network to bill your payment method directly, and you do not want to do it through PayPal, the Jared Reimer Network can do so. Please call 888-405-7524 and leave a request for a callback, and we will discuss what your needs are. Please do not leave your financial data by voicemail. You are not known. To have this data securely transmitted in this way, mainly because services like this may transmit the information to the recipient, like myself, by email as an attachment. And as we know, email, in its very nature, is not secure. So, please feel free to do that if you are able. No amount is too small, and I'm not going to tell people what they should pay. Depends on how valuable you find what we're doing. All right, folks, we are switching now to the rest of the week's news. And we're going to start with OneDrive feature poses security concerns. Starting in June, Microsoft will roll out a OneDrive feature called Prompt to Add Personal Accounts to OneDrive Sync. In discussions on social media platforms, IT and security professionals have expressed concerns that the feature poses privacy and security concerns, not to the work environment, but sensitive work data could accidentally be saved to users' personal computers. According to Microsoft, the quote feature enables OneDrive Sync client on Windows to detect known Microsoft personal accounts associated with business devices and prompt users to sync their personal OneDrive files. If the user accepts the prompt, their personal files will begin syncing alongside their work files. No action is required to enable this behavior by default. Admins can suppress or disable it using the Disable NetAccount Detection. So disable net account detection or disable personal sync. Policies. End quote. The feature was initially scheduled to begin rolling out over the weekend, but the target date has been pushed back until next month. And I personally don't think this is a good idea. You can read the comments in the newsletter where you can read what they have to say, but I don't think I would like the idea of having my work files and my personal files mixed. I know Dropbox has the ability to sort of keep all of your accounts in one place, so you only log into one, and that's all well and good. But I don't know what I feel about Microsoft doing this, because we're talking about a company who can't even give us an operating system that is flawless. We're always patching, and we've never really had a quote-unquote secure system. It just hasn't happened. And that concerns me. At least with Dropbox, we know that they've had issues, and I'm sure Google Drive's got issues too, but not as many as Microsoft. When you're patching over 100 patches a month, this is a problem. I haven't read the Windows Updates posts, so I went looking to see what Krebs is saying, and there are at least 70 vulnerabilities. And some of these are zero-day flaws. So, if that concerns you, and they have a sync tool for OneDrive, I'd be a little concerned about merging all of my stuff. At least with Dropbox, it's as secure as they can make it. And yes, they have had their breaches and their problems, but none of our data has ever been at risk. And seeing how Windows Recall is now being forced upon us, even though the community screamed no, it's coming. And that gives Microsoft a foothold into what's on any one computer. And then they've got access to all your data. I don't know about you, but I don't like the sound of that. I would rather use something like Dropbox or Google Drive or a combination of those tools to get my files backed up. Not everything in one place, like OneDrive, which, by the way, I never got to work. Sound off and let me know what you think. 888-405-7524. And speaking of Microsoft, we're not done with them yet. This next item is also a Microsoft item, and it's called Microsoft Teams will prevent screen captures. Starting in July, Microsoft will roll out a feature to Teams that will prevent Teams meeting participants from taking screenshots of sensitive information. In the Microsoft 365 roadmap, Microsoft writes, quote, the prevent screen capture feature ensures that if a user attempts to take a screen capture, the meeting window will turn black, thereby protecting sensitive information. This feature will be available on Teams desktop applications, both Windows and Mac, and Teams mobile applications, both iOS and Android. For users joining from unsupported platforms, they will be placed in audio-only mode to maintain the integrity of the meeting's content. And that ends the quote. The feature will be available on Teams desktop for Windows and Mac OS, as well as on iOS and Android mobile apps. Microsoft has not said if the feature will be enabled by default. Here's the thing. Why anyone would want to take screenshots is beyond me. Although I have heard some people indicate that they take screenshots of things that are of importance as part of the meeting. I'm sorry to say, but we want to make sure we are not taking pictures of sensitive stuff. But moreover, why are people sharing very sensitive pieces of information in presentations to begin with? The whole point of making a presentation is to talk about things that would be available to the general public, such as what goes on in the transportation industry in the various meetings that I attend, the Accessibility Advisory Committee, the Public Safety Advisory Committee, the Operations Meeting, and the Board. To my knowledge, there is no sensitive data that is shared that should not be, because it is talked about as part of the presentation. Now, if somebody tells me later that there was a piece of sensitive information in one of those screenshots as part of the presentation that was not talked about, then shame on them. and parts of the transportation department do use Zoom and Teams for their meetings, but I know the board itself on their meetings use a totally different program whose name is not familiar to me at the moment. But the point is that all of these companies, whether it's transportation or otherwise, are going to be using these platforms. So they really need to make sure that they don't do this to begin with, and therefore deterring something like this. Let's move now to one of the biggest stories I think this legislation needs to hear, and needs to hear very loud, and we need to say it over and over and over again, because it seems as though nobody in legislation gets it. And I'm not talking about just U.S. legislation. I'm talking all kinds of legislation. So, this next item is Florida's E2EE backdoor bill withdrawn from consideration. Florida's proposed legislative amendment, S2-868/HB-743, quote, social media use by minors, end quote, which notably included a requirement for social media platforms, quote, to provide a mechanism to decrypt end-to-end encryption when law enforcement obtains a subpoena, end quote, has been, quote, indefinitely postponed and withdrawn from consideration, end quote, by the Florida House of Representatives. The Electronic Frontier Foundation calls this, quote, a win for privacy and encryption, end quote, having urged senators to reject the bill, stating in concert with other advocates that by weakening privacy, these changes further endanger those the bill aims to protect. I write in the notes, I agree with Honan. He writes, when will legislators realize that encryption backdoors will not work? No matter what wishful thinking they may have, or worthy cause. They are trying to support. We can either have a secure internet protected by strong encryption, which will be abused by criminals, or we can have an insecure internet protected by backdoored encryption, which will be abused by criminals. In both cases, the criminals win. The only losers are those business and individuals looking to be secure on the internet. And I must say that this is the best thing I have read in these newsletters. Podcasts through the years talked about SOPA and PIPA and other big time legislation to make it so that law enforcement can see what people are doing. And I get it. They want to catch the criminals in doing things that are technically illegal. But you are then going to make it so that the rest of us don't have the security that we want and that we would probably be expecting by forcing a company to basically make it so that their stuff is not encrypted is only going to hurt every single person who uses the program. Let's take the UK, for example. They want iOS to be backdoored. So what did Apple do to comply? They turned off the encrypted portion of the Apple software. I forget the name of it at the moment, but I'm sure somebody can email or call and give me the name of it. I'm going to go, oh yeah, that's the one. But it was basically the ability to have your backups backed up and encrypted. So, I would learn, UK folks, in legislation, from those in the US who have tried and failed to understand that this is not what we want. Sorry, UK folk. I am on your side. You should be allowed to have an encrypted device and an encrypted backup that is only accessible to you. I just don't remember what it's called now, but I know they turned off some form of encryption, and I know we talked about it. But the point is that this is not going to work in your favor. Well, good luck, U.S. folks. See if you can finally figure out something you can actually, you know, pass to get what you want. Click fix attacks have been detected against Windows and Linux targets and against iClicker, a digital classroom tool. Researchers from Hunt.io identified an attack against India's Ministry of Defense that used a phony website and a link that purports to be a press release. Once site visitors click on the link, they are, quote, directed to one of two PHP pages depending on their operating system, end quote. In another attack, the iClicker website was found to have been compromised with a malicious CAPTCHA prompt that installs malware on users' devices. According to the University of Michigan's IT Services Safe Computing site, the phony CAPTCHA was on the iClicker landing page between April 12th and 16th, 2025. I say I need to get better at making sure that it's IT and not it. And I must say that this is one reason why we need to be cautious when we even visit a page we know, because it can be compromised. And you never know what you're actually clicking on. And if something doesn't look right, try and find a way to contact the website to report such an issue. And if the whole thing's been defaced, well, maybe it's just best not to go to the website and see if people are talking about the website somewhere, and hopefully you can get a message to the proper people who can then fix it. U.S. and Dutch authorities seize proxy network infrastructure. Law enforcement authorities in the U.S. and the Netherlands have seized infrastructure supporting two websites that sold proxy tools used by cyber criminals to hide their identities and locations. The botnet responsible for the criminal operation comprised thousands of compromised wireless internet routers and other Internet of Things IoT devices. An unsealed indictment from the U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ, charges four individuals, three from Russia and one from Kazakhstan, with conspiracy and damage to protected computers. According to DOJ, the law enforcement effort, dubbed Operation Moonlander, involved, quote, multiple jurisdictions, including the Eastern District of Virginia, the Dutch National Police, Amsterdam region, the Netherlands Public Prosecution Service, Open Bar Ministries, and the Royal Thai Police. Black Lotus Labs of Lumen Technologies Incorporated provided significant assistance and worked closely with investigators. And I say, great. We need more cooperation between law enforcement and, say, the FBI or other federal jurisdictions that the world relies on to start bringing these types of criminals to justice. Now, according to what we've read, nobody's been arrested yet, but I would assume that if everything works out, we may hear about some arrests. Now, remember that I said that the last story takes from this story when it comes to the paragraph? Well, here is this story talking about the UK. And this one is UK aid education company says threat actors stole legacy data. Of course, legacy data is in quotation marks. UK-based education company Pearson says they have experienced a cyber attack in which legacy data were stolen. Pearson told Bleeping Computer, quote, an unauthorized actor gained access to a portion of our systems, end quote. Pearson provides both print and online educational services, including textbooks and standardized testing. Pearson's statement follows Bleeping Computer learning from sources, quote, that threat actors compromised Pearson's developer environment in January 2025 through an exposed GitLab personal access token, PAT, found in a public .git/config file. In January 2025, Pearson disclosed a cybersecurity incident involving one of its subsidiaries. And all I'll say is that we need more information, I think. What subsidiary? What did they find? How are you fixing it? And how are you going to make sure that this doesn't happen again? I've heard of Pearson. I've heard of them for many, many years. So I kind of know who they are. Finally, fix available for ASUS driver hub vulnerabilities. Unfortunately, the paragraph about the UK story was in this portion of the newsletter. And that was what we were just reading in regards to Pearson. Neely writes in the editor's notes, driver hub can be disabled in the system settings if you're uncomfortable with it automatically downloading drivers and updates. Even so, you want to update to the latest to prevent future problems. And that's what I was going to write anyway, even if that is what they were trying to intend, because I would have written and said the same thing. Just get it updated. You could probably disable this. You could, you know, contact ASUS to learn more on how you could do some of these things. And so that's the best we can do here. The editorial board of Sans News Bites. And I'm actually trying to do this a little bit differently and making this more of a paragraph style. So here we go. Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elgee, David Holzer, Ed Scoutis, Gal Spencer, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Vatronaut, and William Hugh Murray. Yes, this actually sounds a lot better than me trying to remember when to say and. So I like this. I'm going to do that in the future. And it actually says several lines of Braille. Sands is located at 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. I am Jared Reimer, and we will have a Friday edition of this come early next week. Please stay safe and please stay well. Please make sure you are updating as best you can. And we will catch you on another edition of Sands next time. Until then, thanks so much for listening. Email, iMessage, JaredRimer at 986themix.com or tech at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975 or call the comment line at 888-405-7524. We will see everybody next Sands.